Well, welcome everybody to another episode in the life and times of Mark Jai. A special shout out to for those who just kind of caught the hymn coming in. That was the first time we played a hymn, and that's thanks to Nathan Drake from WeReawakenHymns.com. He gave me the blessing to he created a CD series called Hymns of the Father, and so this is my Father's world. So on that note, Mark, how you doing this week?
I'm doing good, thank you, my friend. Yes. It's been good week thus far. So all good, thank you.
Well, that's great, mate. And I hope everybody else is having a great week. And I mean, things are going okay here in Canada. We're, you know, the days are getting shorter. It's getting cooler in the morning. Oh, but I guess winter is on its way sooner rather than later, it seems.
Certainly is in the northern hemisphere, I think. But probably in the southern hemisphere, they're glad it's heading towards summer.
Now, you have your family has a bit of an announcement this week. Do you care to...
Well, yes. Our eldest daughter, Frances, who's married to Rich, has two boys already. She is expecting our third grandchild. And, of course, their third child. So we're delighted about that next April.
Wow.
Sometime. So, yeah, the two other boys are born in March. So this is just spreading it out a little bit. So that's good. That's very good news.
As we already talked about, you're catching up to Ann and I, and we have three grandkids, and you know, I guess the race is going to be on for that. What's going to happen after that for the rest of our kids?
What will be, Barry.
Exactly. So, are there any announcements that you need to make at all, or anything coming up?
Only just to say. We've got, can I go full screen, Barry, or is that...
Absolutely, I'm putting you on there now.
Okay, thanks. We've got our Father Heart Encounter Week in next March, the last week of March, at Cloverley Hall. We're really looking forward to being back in Cloverley. And, just invite anybody in the UK or in Europe who wants to come and join us, you're very welcome to. All of the information is on the fatherheart.uk website, fatherheart.uk/encounter, and we'd love to see you. Actually, I mean, I said UK and Europe. We did actually have some people from Australia come to one of our encounter weeks, one of our schools, a few years ago. So don't limit yourself. Come and visit us in the UK if you can, but particularly for the UK and Europe, we've got this encounter week. I've got a brilliant team. Some of them are on the webcast this evening. Norman Smirrell and Norman and Johanna and Mike and Sue Hammond are the team, along with Wynette from the Netherlands. So we're really looking forward to that week and just encourage you all to sign up for that. And then a bit nearer to hand, we've got a couple of days in November when we just got a day calling it together again. One at the Lighthouse Community Church in Hardley in Southampton on November the 6th, and then one on the 27th of November in Bridge North. Basically, just turn up, but it is helpful if you can register your interest in case there's any changes we need to let you know of. I'm going to be in Poland. I'm just going to Poland on Sunday for a week. Looking forward to that, but basically just to meet the team and see people and just see how everybody is. Doing one meeting next Thursday evening, but because I'm away next Wednesday and Barry's got something else on next week, we won't be doing a webcast next Wednesday, but we will be back again 2 weeks' time. So if you tune into Facebook next Wednesday, you'll just be skipping through the Facebook homepage rather than watching us too.
Yes, and we will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, and again, Mark said he's in Poland, and I am actually teaching the interns at my home church for 3 days. So it just is exactly at the. I mean, I'm close to home, unlike Mark is, but I'm actually teaching right at the time of the webcast. So, then the next challenge. Dear friends, as you know, is the time changes coming up, which I have the ability, no matter how much Mark coaches me, every time we have a time change, I usually get it opposite. And so pray for me, because what happens is ours, I'm not sure. I'm thinking it's the first week in November, but I'm not for sure. Don't quote me on that.
Well, ours is the last Sunday of October.
Okay. Well, people
will keep you informed.
Yes. Now, the good news is for Europe, and if your time, we're keeping the same time chain or the time for you guys, and it's mostly the North America attendees that would be affected. And of course, I'm the most affected if I'm not. Either I'm there an hour late or an hour early, but trust.
Maybe that week I should do the hosting.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Yes, it just no matter. I'll tell you, it's like a mental block with me. It's just every time I go, I gotta figure it out. But then I don't have an extra camera, but on my desk I have a giant. Mouse pad that's the world with all the time zones in it. Like it's every time zone. Like it goes across like 30 inches. That still doesn't help me. So appreciate you praying for me.
Well, Barry, there's an app that does it for me.
Yes. I need that as well. So, and isn't it Trevor's birthday today?
It is Trevor's birthday.
I'm not sure if Trevor's on, but you could sing a rendition of Happy Birthday if he was. But
well, we do want to celebrate his birthday, not put him off.
Exactly. Okay.
Trevor and Linda are actually in the Netherlands this weekend. They drove over there a couple of days ago, and they're doing a tour of the Netherlands, Germany, popping into Belgium and then up to Denmark over the next few weeks. So they may not be with us this evening, but very happy birthday to Trevor.
Hey, happy birthday,
next
Trevor.
Next year is the big one.
I'm not going to...
With
not,
a zero on the end.
Yeah, I won't mention that. I'll just... Well, he's turning 50, is he? As I say, I'm in the neighborhood of 50, but the neighborhood's getting bigger every year, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have that's the same issue, Barry.
Yes. You're just behind me, mate. So
I'm just behind you. Yeah.
So no other announcements or anything, and we can just dive into what we want to do.
I think we can just dive in. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, as we mentioned, in case you maybe weren't here the last couple of broadcasts, but Mark and I always talk about. If there's any kind of tweaking that we can do with our webcasts. And so one of the things we both thought would be good is, again, to make room for questions. And, because, we often have discovered before that, people who ask questions about things that we teach on or whatever, oftentimes God will use those questions to, of course, if there's something that needs to be clarified, right? It's always very helpful. So, we're going to start off with, that again, and just, talk about a few maybe questions, or at least certainly we'll start with one and see where that goes. I mean, the thing with Mark and I, we never seem to be at a loss for this kind of thing. I don't know what that says about us, but I think it's because we're good mates and we're very comfortable having these kind of chats. So I'm going to start with the first question, and if you can see, I've got it here. Now, if you're watching on a phone, you might want to turn it sideways to be able to actually read the question. And if not, no worries. I can actually do that, hopefully. But, and again, this is why we titled the the webcast based on this question. And there are other questions that came in this week. And again, we encourage everybody to submit questions if you have them to either Mark or I, either on Facebook Messenger or on our from our websites. And yeah, I mean, we can't always get to the questions. And just because we don't get to them doesn't mean that, you know, they're not worth answering. But we do welcome this because I think certainly it helps us to be able to get a sense on even direction as well. So I'm just going to read this one question. It's a little bit of two paragraphs. So, and then I will do my best to start the conversation, and then I'll pass it over to Mark if that's okay. So this is the question. I think many of us find it hard to believe that you can be little even if you have a lot of responsibilities in life. People may have a responsible job, children or elderly parents to take care of, or a lot of responsibility in church. Is it really true that you can combine being as needy and dependent as a little baby in your relationship to the Father and carrying a lot of responsibility at work, family, or ministry? How does that work in practice? And I really appreciate this question. It's a very, very good question. I think it's one that, I would wrestle with this myself as well in the sense of just the idea of staying small. And yet, you know, it's like being little in our relationship with God, is not about, us becoming immature or childish, you know. And I think this is where we really need to understand the difference between being childlike and childish. But before I actually get into the meat of what my thoughts first, Mark, could you maybe just open in prayer and just ask that God would just he'd rescue us as he does, you know. But that would be good.
Yes. Well, thank you, Father, just for this opportunity of being in your presence as your sons and daughters. And we just ask, Father, that you'll take our words and they'd be your words.
Yeah.
May your spirit breathe through what we say and what we communicate. Father, may we have an encounter with your love this evening. That whatever our day's been like, Father, we can just allow our heart to be still and quiet with you. And Father, I just ask for all of us who are watching this, whether it's live or watching the video later, that our hearts would be brought to a place of stillness. And in that stillness, Father, we would know that we're held in your embrace.
Yeah.
And thank you, Father, that you're with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks, mate. The one thing I kind of feel like it would, I just want to, I was reminded of this in my own life, you know, especially when it comes to this whole idea of how do we stay little in our relationship with God, but what happens when we're managing some pretty big things, whether they be responsibilities like we were mentioned with family or jobs or you know other things, or you know maybe it's you know in COVID and you know dealing with some practical issues of fear and the future, and or maybe there's you know you're dealing with loss. I think it. Every one of us have a unique situation that we're dealing with, even in this moment. But when I think about productivity, and I think this is why I think, you know, because if anybody's ever heard me talk about a childlike heart, which it's kind of, you know, I do it quite a bit, right? It seems like everything in my revelation of the Father's love seems to find its way back to this place of really learning to be little. But I remember, you know, when I was this type A personality, working as a full-time pastor, leaving, you know, the newspaper business, I wanted, you know, I felt a call of God in my life, and I really wanted to make a difference. And, you know, of course, going into pastoral ministry, that kind of wore me out, you know, and because of the work of the kingdom is never ending, right? And there's always need. But I just couldn't rest, and you know, I couldn't be at peace. And but here's the adult Barry, right? This is the big Barry trying to be competent, trying to really, you know, do something for the kingdom. And then I come into this revelation of the Father's love. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I could be small. I could rest. I didn't, that my value wasn't based on my productivity. And it was like something inside my being started to be disengaged. That drivenness and performance and all those things began to really be consumed in the fire of God's love for me. And it was just an amazing thing. And as a result of that, you know, the story of just writing a sermon illustration and on a Sunday morning and then it called Father's Love Letter and it, you know, getting out of hand on the internet. And you know, that was, almost 23 years ago. And I just think about what happened in my heart it kind of disabled that type A driven. I'm not saying I haven't dealt with those, you know, still recurring, but it was like, you know, and it was funny because after I came into this revelation of the Father's love, a leader in our church, kind of tongue in cheek, sent an email to James Jordan, my friend, and he said, "What did you do to Barry?" He said, "You've ruined him. Because now all he wants to do is kind of rest in the Father's love, and it's not like he's that, you know, he didn't say you're that drivenness, but now he's not as productive anymore to the church." And so I think, you know, like there's, that when we learn to walk in this revelation, and of course, to me, it's only little children that can call God Father, right? It's not the grown up in us, but it's the little us that cries, "Abba, you really are my dad." And it's the little us that actually, I believe, qualifies us to pray the Lord's Prayer, to ask that the kingdom of God would come, that our Father's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's not the grown-up, competent, you know, independent, self-sufficient me that is limited by my own strength. It is actually the little boy who has no illusions of my strength, that I am weak and I am dependent and I'm helpless, but my dad happens to be the biggest, best dad in the universe. So, you know, I think, like, from my own personal experience, and I know, Mark, you know, you can speak of this in your own, you know, running a company and all kinds of things. Like, you know, when we look at, like, coming into a place of being able to be, just even giving ourselves permission to rest and be at peace. And I think God can do more in a twinkling of an eye in his power than I could do in a lifetime of striving. And so, and I both of us have seen it, and both of us have experienced that. And so, I, you know, kind of dealing with the responsibilities and how does being childlike interact with that? I mean, I really believe that, you know, the way to be the most productive in that sense, even though productivity isn't the end goal, is to actually just to really be connected to the vine, and the vine does all the work, right? Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. All we have to do is just abide in him, and he does the work. So I don't know, Mark, like, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, as Barry said, I ran my own business for 30 years. I had a number of staff, I had over 200 clients. And that was just the office hours, you know. And I think what we have to be careful of is we don't confuse two different things. There's nothing wrong with being busy, you know. A number of us, you know, we are inevitably busy because of our lifestyles, our family commitments, our job commitments, our church commitments, and all of those things. And we can be very, you know, we can be busy. You know, our days can be full. My days were full. Thankfully, I don't have to do accountancy anymore. So they're not quite as full, and I'm very much enjoying this new state of life. But we can confuse, when we talk about having a childlike heart, it's not we stop doing everything and we go to work and we twiddle our thumbs for 7.5 hours and we don't interact with the responsibility that we've got there or the responsibility we've got at home. You know, a childlike heart is a heart attitude. It's something internal. It's not about activity. One of the things we often get accused of, and you know, Barry alluded to it a little bit tongue in cheek with you know, his friend, you know, we get accused of telling people to do nothing. And that's actually, you know, not what we're saying, because it's not about a childlike heart. Is not about activity or inactivity. It's about the state of our heart.
Yeah.
And you can be inactive. You can stop doing anything. You know, you can cut all the busyness out of your life, but you can still not have a childlike heart. Because a childlike heart is an attitude of where we are at internally. It's that peace and rest that comes. And to me, that only comes when we are totally soaked in love. Mm. You know, the more we are soaked in love, see, what happens is, as we are soaked in love and as we become rooted and grounded in love, what happens is that that love is our security.
Mm.
And so we can, we talked about this the other day, I think, Barry, didn't we? About knowing and experiencing, mm. knowing and relying on the love of God. You see, and as the more we know and the more we rely on the love that God has for us, we are, the less we rely on ourselves.
Mm.
And a lot of our busyness and a lot of it comes out of a desire for performance and a desire to be, you know, noticed or a desire to be seen. And so our busyness or our productivity is an internal drivenness, because we're trying to, because we're not secure in love.
Mm.
And you can be very busy, you can have very responsible job, you can have a lot of responsibility in church, you can have a lot of responsibility in family, but you can have a childlike heart.
Hmm.
Because what you've done is you've, see, I look at the life of Paul, and you know, there's that guy, very busy, traveling around all over the world as it was then, shipwrecked, beaten, in prison, and yet he comes to a place of saying, when I am weak, I am strong.
Hmm.
You know, and how did that guy get there? You know, how did he come to that place of really knowing that actually a childlike heart was the key? Because he's still busy, he's still writing all these letters, he's still supporting all the churches, but yet his heart has changed. And the only thing that has changed his heart, I think, is he's been soaking himself in love.
Hmm.
And for me, that's the key for us to have this, a childlike heart, is that we soak ourselves in love. I mean, last weekend we had our grandkids up, and it's just great, because you just see they are love sponges. Mm. You know, they're busy little beavers. They run around all over the house, you know, and they're playing with all their toys, and they're playing with us, and you put them to bed, and they go to sleep straight away. But, you know, they're totally, totally busy, totally, totally consumed with the moment, but they're totally, totally secure in their, in our love for them and their parents' love for them.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's my tuppence worth on that, Barry.
Wow, very good, mate. I think it's really, like, when you talk about the very foundation of who we are, right? And I just got up, I just read a comment from Mike on Facebook, and it's actually from Jane, but just talking about this idea of where we draw our sense of identity and belonging, and how the sense of how we need both a father's love and a mother's love, which is the masculine love of God and the feminine love of God, to be able to deal with those things. And I, again, it isn't like, you know, some people, and again, it's kind of a, could be a knock a little bit on kind of the, or maybe in the past at least, the Father Heart kind of guys that all they want to do is talk about the love of God, and they just don't want to soak in everything else. And of course, that's true. You know, I'm not, but again, it's not about laziness. It's not about a lack of productivity. Mm. It's like, it's dealing with the very foundation of who we see ourselves as, and how do we actually, how do we get that need met, right? When is the Father saying to us, our Heavenly Father saying, you're my Son whom I love and you are well pleased. Like, we've talked about it before, about Jesus who, coming out of the waters of baptism, and the Father spoke those words of affirmation before he started his public ministry. Not, he said them again at the end, but he said them at the beginning before he did anything to, in a sense, earn or deserve that kind of public affirmation. And it comes down to, I think, something that can be very subtle, right? It's like, are we doing the work in order to be affirmed? Because we have this hole in our soul that just cannot seem to be filled. Or are we doing the work, you know, as a result of being loved? And I think on the outside we might not see the difference, but on the inside, that's where it makes all the difference, right? Because when we are sons and daughters of the Father, co-laboring with Christ in the work that we're called to do, but where it's not our work and it's not our strength doing it. As Paul, you said about Paul, like that revelation of weakness is I believe the key. And part of it for me, what I believe, at least for myself, is the fact that if I'm moving in my own strength, then I am limited to what my natural ability can do. You know, if I can lift 100 pounds, then that is my limitation. I can't go beyond that. But when I am weak, and there's no illusions of who's strong in the family. You know, it's my big brother. It's, you know, my Heavenly Father is the biggest, best dad in the universe. And when we embrace that weakness, you know, and then all of a sudden now you've got a gazillion pound weight that's nothing for our dad to pick up. You know, I mean, I can do 100 pounds maybe, you know. And I think that's where the childlike heart, you know, we just are able to sink into that beautiful relationship where we don't have to try to overwork or overreach or over trying to demonstrate and trying to protect that broken identity and try, like, to say I'm lovable and I'm valuable based on what I do. And I remember, you know, one of our friends, mutual friends, coming up to us one time, and he went to a pastor's conference, I think in the U.S., and a pastor came up to him and grabbed his hand and looked at him and shook it, and he said, my name is Pastor so-and-so, and I pastor a church of 1,000. How about you? You know, it's just like, that's the, you know, kind of the initial introduction. And God bless the hearts for that, but it's so many times, if that's the core of who we are, if there's nothing more than, you know, our understanding of productivity is, I think it can just create us in a cycle of works where it exhausts us. And I think that's why little kids are weak, right? They know they're weak. They can't reach up to the kitchen counter and you know, get a cookie on the counter. They have to ask their mom or dad to help them. And they just, you know, at that childlike state, they are comfortable with weakness. And I think if we can be comfortable with that same weakness in ourselves, and that's not, you know, like, you know, being, you know, self-effacing and being negative and everything else. It's just embracing just the who we are. But, you know, it's like in Corinthians, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? The clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're broken vessels. We're cracked pots. Certainly I am. But at the same time, we're filled with the absolute immeasurable glory of God. So I truly believe that, you know, when Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, about the greatest in the kingdom being a little child, and he goes, unless you change, go in the opposite direction and humble yourself like this child, right? It takes that, like, the beautiful humility of a child is like, they know who they are. They know, and if you come, you know, they come from a loving home, then they're secure in that, and they know that they need everything to be provided for them in that sense. And I just believe when we are able to Yeah, just cease from our own works in that, you know, that activity and enter into the rest of God. And then the work that we do, and it's like we do work, it's not like we don't do it, but it's way more, in a sense, productive from an eternal perspective for sure. So,
yeah. I think it's just, one of the things I often come back to is that little couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2 where Paul says it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. You see, even the faith we need is a gift. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. You're not saved by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And for me, that's the key, is, you know, he has prepared good works for us to do. You know, there are things for us to do. You know, Jesus said, come to me and take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light. You see, so there is this thing of finding out what he's got for us to do. And I've discovered, I think, the works he has prepared in advance for me to do are much easier than the works I think I ought to be doing.
Yeah,
and absolutely. One of the things I'm learning to do is, if something comes along, there's a good idea. You know, Barry and I have a lot of good ideas. You know, technology, webcasts. You know, and you know, one of the things I'm learning to do is, Father, has this got my name on it? Yeah. You know, is this one of the good works you've prepared for me? Because if it isn't, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it because it will cause me stress. So kind of that's my, you know, that's one of the things I just ask more and more regularly. Father, has this got my name on it? And that comes, you know, I can do that, I think, because I've just, over the years, I guess I've learned a little bit of dependency, a little bit of reliance on him.
Yeah.
And trust, that I know he has my good in his, you know, at his, he wants my good. And he's the father who, in Matthew 6, is a father who provides for us. You know, he knows what we need. And it's that dependency and trust in him that says, Father, I know that you know what I need. And I'm going to rely on that rather than trying to work out what I need for myself. So I think, you know, this process of, I don't know about you, Barry, but for me anyway, the process of becoming little, the process of becoming childlike, was not a one-off event in my life. it comes by revelation.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a revelation that grows in our heart.
Yeah.
As we become more secure in love, we understand our position in Christ, our position in sonship. Which kind of goes on a little bit to a couple of the other questions we were asked, which were, you know, how can I love a lot? You know, how can I see people as the Father sees them? And again, for me, that comes down to the more I allow myself to be loved, that love changes my outlook on life. It changes how I see people. It changes what I believe about people. See, we only love, we can only truly love because we first receive love. And the more we receive love, the outworking of love, John says in his letter, first letter, is by this love is perfected, that we love one another. You know, and I've meditated on that verse and thought about it a lot. And it's like, you can read it like, I have to love other people in order to prove God's love of me. You know, if I do this, then he will love me. But it actually doesn't mean that. It means that as I am loved by him and as I am, as I receive his love into my heart, the completion or the conclusion of that is me becoming a more loving person. So as I am loved, the outworking of that love in my life enables me automatically to love other people.
Yeah.
There are people a few years ago I couldn't, you know, I found it really hard to love. I didn't want to love them. I didn't even want to like them. And I didn't want to be in the same room with them. But now, you know, the Father gives me compassion for people like that. And it's nothing I've done. It's something He's done. And, you know, in Ephesians 3, Paul writes that we are rooted and established in love. And again, that doesn't happen overnight. But I think the more we are rooted and established in love, the more we can grasp how immense this love is. And that's the thing that changes us. Love transforms us. There's an incredible power in love to transform. You know, it's like Paul says, we comfort one another with the comfort that we've received. And it's like if we haven't received comfort, we can't comfort others. You know, we have to, and we don't receive comfort in order to give it away. We receive comfort because we need it, full stop, end of story.
Yeah.
But as we receive that comfort, it will transform us and it will enable us to give that comfort out. And, you know, I think my encouragement as we, you know, if you ask yourself, or if you're asking yourself, how can I become a more loving person? I would just say, stop trying. You know, I would say, give up. Give up trying to be a more loving person. And instead of trying to be a more loving person, I would say it's a better use of your time to allow yourself to be more loved.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we are more loved, that will transform us.
Mm.
And I know from my own life, that's been my journey. But I believe it's the biblical journey as well. Mm. You know, it's what Jesus talks about in the Gospels. It's what Paul writes about. And I just want to, I want to give myself to being loved. Now, one of the joys I've had over the last 6 months is I haven't had to go to the office every day, which has been a great blessing, and I've had more time. And I've been able to spend more time just reflecting and more time soaking and more time receiving, and it's been a privilege, it's been a joy. And I know a year ago I wasn't in that place of being able to do that, but even when I was very busy running the business and everything else, I could still find time just to say, Father, will you pour your love into my heart today?
Mm.
And I would just, I think for me this is kind of it's not something I do because I have to. It's something I do because I want to experience more of the Father's love and more of Him loving me.
Mm.
And to let love grow in my heart. So as Jane said, you know, I become more rooted in my identity. I become more rooted in my sense of belonging. And I would encourage us to do that, to allow yourself to be loved. Jeremiah says we're loved with an everlasting love. Yeah. And he writes it in the past tense, you know, God has loved us with an everlasting love. But to my mind, and I'm not a great scholar of English grammar, but, you know, if it's an everlasting love, that means it's going on right at this moment.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, God is loving us right now with His everlasting love. And I just felt when we started, this is getting a bit further away from the question, Barry, but I just felt as we started tonight, that's what the Father wanted to encourage us with. Mm. That in this moment, He is loving you. Mm. It's not His ability to love us that's ever in question, because He's loving us with a perfect, complete love every moment of every day. It's always our ability to receive. Mm. And I just have that sense this evening that what He wants to do is He wants to encourage us with His love. And whatever your day's been like, whatever you're going through, and there's plenty of challenges around at the moment. There's a lot of challenges in our life. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of pain. Sometimes we struggle to see where God is in all of that. And we wonder if we're just on our own. But I just feel what He wants to do for us today is to, even in the midst of those difficulties, He wants you to know that He is loving you right now, and that His love is surrounding you. And if you can, and sometimes it's hard because of the pressures of life, but if you can, even in the midst of the pain and the heartache and the difficulties, the challenges, maybe the disappointments, the where you've been let down by other people or where you've been persecuted or whatever, can I just encourage you to rest in that love and let His love do you good? Mm. Because He is loving you. He's always loved you and He always will, but He is loving you now. Mm. And it's in this moment when everything feels desperate that you can know and you can receive that love being poured into your heart.
Mm. I'm just letting that sink for a second. Yeah, mate, that's really awesome. I think you know, one of the things that kind of the adult in us, I think, tries to do is that it's like we're trying to generate good works towards God instead of being in a place of receiving from Him and understanding that the Christian life is just simply a response. We love because He first loved. And I think that's one of the things that I think defines a little child, in the sense that they're amazing receivers.
Yeah.
Until they, you know, pride kicks in, until the ego's developed and they begin having difficulty receiving. And I think, as Mark said, I think tonight, no matter what is what's happening in your own life and what you're struggling with, or that, I just believe the Father is just pouring His love into you right now, and to be able to just have that simple humility of a little child that just, yeah, Father, I just receive that. You know, Jesus said to, in Luke chapter 18, you know, when His disciples were wanting to be His bodyguard and guards and prevent the children from coming to Him, He said, unless you receive the kingdom like a little child would, you will not enter it into it. And I just believe that, just this, you know, a lot of times the adult mindset just tries to rationalize and understand you know, a sense of justice and right and wrong. And sometimes we're just broken and we don't, and I think that's where even 1 John 4:16, where it says, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And some translations say, so we trust in the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. And I think, just that sense of, in this very moment, no matter what you're going through, no matter what heartaches you're experiencing, no matter what trauma, what decisions you have to make, pressures from work and family responsibilities, I just believe in this moment the Father, He is pouring His love in. And it's just the awakening of our own being to realize that and to, you know, have that childlike heart just to simply receive it. So, yeah, that's a good word, mate.
And He knows. The Father knows what we're going through. He knows where we're at. And He never does anything to judge or condemn us.
Yes.
You know, that's the lie that we receive, that, you know, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life has set us free. And so if you feel condemned by your situation, you may feel it's your fault, that you've made it happen or whatever, then, you know, we just want to lift that off in Jesus' name. Because there's no condemnation. Everything the Father does, He does for our good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, He highlights stuff in our hearts, but He does it because He wants us to be free.
Yeah. So do you think we should take some time just to breathe?
I think so.
I think that would be a good idea, just to, for all of us, no matter where you're at, the Father understands you. He understands where you're at, and he just wants you to be able to come into a place where, that He just, He's pouring His love into our hearts in this very moment. And so, Father, we just want to come as your little kids today. We are big on the outside. We have lots of pressures and responsibilities in life. We have stresses. We have fears. We have things that have absolutely devastated us. But, Father, we just come to you with all of our baggage. And we thank you that you are loving us in this very moment. And so, Abba, we want to, we want to really reconnect with you on a heart level. And we know that your love has never changed. It's never stopped being poured in, but just, Father, even now by your Holy Spirit, would you just awaken in our being just the need to be loved, and then just the understanding that you are loving us even now. All we have to do is breathe. All we have to do is receive the waterfall of your affection, Father. Thank you that it's perfect love that casts out fear. We don't have to cast out fear. We just have to, we just need to position our hearts just to realize we are being filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. You do the filling. So, Father, we just want to receive tonight.
See what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is who we are. Thank you, Father, that right in this moment you're lavishing your love upon us. It's a generous outpouring of love into our hearts. May we just be able to receive a measure, a full measure of what you're doing, of that love that's being poured into our heart. Thank you, Father. Father, help us to come with that simplicity of the little child who comes running towards its parents, grandparents, with open arms. And they're swept up into those arms. Help us to come to you like that. That you sweep us up in your arms and you hold us in an embrace. And in that moment, we are the most important thing. That's how a little child feels when they're picked up. They're the most important thing in the world.
Mm.
And all of the problems they're facing, whether they've just fallen over and scuffed their knee and or can't get their toys to work or whatever, all of that stuff fades away as they become the most important person for those few moments. May we be like that in your arms tonight.
Mm.
Thank you, Father, for your love, that you are loving us with an everlasting love. And Father, for those who are suffering heartache and pain and devastation, I just ask that your comfort would flow into their hearts now, that you would comfort the brokenhearted. For those who feel condemned, we just speak the words of life. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, may your love set us free. Thank you, Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, Father, would you just help us to put form into what practically for our lives?
Yeah.
Because each one of us is different. Each one of us is unique in your eyes. But for our lives, Father, how does living in love work with our family and with our work and with our responsibilities? Thank you, Father, that your anointing leads us and guides us, teaches us the way to go.
Yeah.
And Father, we just ask that even in this coming week, as we go about our work and responsibilities, that Father, that we will find, just a greater awareness of your abiding presence in everything we do. And where there's fear and stress, Father, that our hearts would be calmed.
Yeah.
And maybe there would be just moments of just being still and knowing that you are our God and our Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Father, that tonight you're not distant.
Mm.
You're not afar off.
Yeah.
But you're right in our living rooms, in our bedrooms. Wherever we are watching this, you're with us right there. Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm. So good, huh?
It is indeed, eh?
Mm. Well,
yeah.
Well, there we go.
So we will be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, mate.
You have a good week with your interns next week?
I will. And you, and how's your Polish? Are you?
Well, I know about three words: ice cream, hello, and thank you. Priorities. Got to get
yes,
the ice cream.
Yes, of course. Ice cream is important. So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for coming. And again, we will see you in 2 weeks. And I promise that I will get my act together with time zones for North America when the time changes happen.
The first week of November, we will have the challenge, Barry.
All right, everybody.
Okay, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thanks.